إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us this month, the month of Ramadan al-Kareem, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah said, the meaning of which is, as we all know, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become muttaqoon, so that you may develop taqwa. It is true that Ramadan al-Kareem comes with a lot of fadail, it comes with a lot of barakah, the reward for deeds is increased, and so on and so on. But the purpose for Ramadan al-Kareem is not for all this barakah. The purpose is so that we become muttaqoon. All this barakah comes as a result of becoming muttaqoon. A person who does not develop taqwa, a person who does not take advantage of Ramadan, does not have that barakah, even though he is living in Ramadan. So the question is, does Ramadan enter me or do I enter Ramadan? So to think about it like that. Now, what is taqwa? In our general translations, which we read in English and so on, and also in Urdu and I don't know what other languages, but taqwa is translated as fear. So, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqati. Oh, the translation is, oh, you believe, fear Allah as it is his right to be feared. My submission is that taqwa is not fear, because fear is a negative emotion. Fear produces hatred. Nobody loves somebody or something they fear. Ask a small child who goes to school, if there is a teacher who beats the child or something, the child will fear the teacher. But you say, do you obey the teacher? Yes, I obey the teacher. Do you love the teacher? No, I don't love the teacher. Why do you obey the teacher? Because the teacher will punish me. So obedience is not necessarily a sign of love. Obedience can happen because of fear, or obedience can happen because a person is afraid of the evil that might come from that person. About the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Allah said, and the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone and anything else. So Allah made the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hub of Allah, as the criterion to determine who is a believer and who is not a believer. Number one. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةً تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنَ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. In Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described 8 different things. I won't go into the detailed translation and so on, you know the ayat. Allah described 8 different things which we as human beings normally love, and alhamdulillah, it is halal to love this. There's nothing wrong with loving that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you love them more than you love Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you love them more than struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then go away. Allah does not need you. Go and wait for the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah does not guide the rebellious people. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is the distinguishing feature of the believer. So how then do you bring khashyatullah into this? You bring the concept which combines khashyatullah and the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa. It is not fear of Allah, it is fear of disobeying, fear of displeasing, fear of offending the one I love the most. It is not fear of Allah, it is fear of offending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why am I afraid of offending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because I love Allah so much. So the more I love Allah, the more I fear to offend Him. So the more the hope of Allah increases, the more taqwa increases. The more the fear of offending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases. Taqwa is to avoid the doubtful. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-halalu wal-haramu al-halalu bayin wa haramu bayin wa bayinahuma mushtabihat. He said, the halal is clear, the haram is clear. Between these two are the doubtful thing, he said, leave the doubtful for that which is not doubtful. This is the sign of the muttaqi. Does not go near the boundary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question of crossing the boundary does not arise. He does not even go near the boundary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is like a shepherd who is grazing his flock. If he goes close to the boundary of the king, the chances are that he might go across the boundary and then he gets into trouble. So the wise man is the one who does not even go near the boundary of the king. So the muttaqi is not the one who searches for fatwas. The muttaqi is the one who does ihtiyat, who is very careful about himself. He does not need a ruling to say this and that. If he does not know, he leaves it alone until he finds out whether the thing is right or not. This is the sense of taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to create in ourselves, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this month. And that's why the point I want to make for you, and that's why today's reminder, I call it the meaning of meaning. And the meaning of meaning is very, very simple thing. If I ask you the term your wife, what is the meaning? Yeah? So you will say zaujatuk, or you will say tumhari bibi, or whatever, in whichever language you're translating it. But if I say your wife, what does she mean to you? The meaning and the meaning. In English, if you say what does this mean to you? There's a different, we are not talking about what is the translation of that. Right? We're saying what does it mean to you? This thing has a world of meaning. This means the world to me. My mother means the world to me. My father means the world to me. Means what? It doesn't mean the translation of the word father is world. So if I say I'm going on a world tour, I'm going on a father tour. No. We are talking about the what we call in Urdu, for example, or Arabic, the wazan, the weight of this thing. So what does it mean? Therefore, we come back to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, what does this mean? Now today, unfortunately, what has happened to a lot of us is when we say what does it mean, we are giving a translation. Right? We're giving a translation. Translation is not the meaning. That is one meaning. Okay, there is a translation. You have to understand what the words mean. But that is not the meaning. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentioned again the quality of the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah is talking about the effect of understanding. Allah is not saying, what is the translation of the word Allah? What is the translation of Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim? No, Allah is saying, what is happening to you inside here? What is happening to you? You are reading the Quran. Very good. So what is happening to you? Allah is not saying, did you understand? Afala yatadabbaruna al-Quran. Allah said, don't they read the Quran? No, He said, don't they reflect on the Quran? Don't they think about the Quran? He didn't say, don't they read the Quran? No. Obviously, reading is important, but the point is that if we stop there, and that seems to, I'm talking about myself, that seems to happen to a lot of us. We've stopped there. So we have defined knowledge as the understanding of words. So we have the words, then we translate them, and then we go into the intricate details of that. We go into the rules of grammar. We say this word means this, and this relates here, and this relates here, and how many times does this word appear in Ayat al-Kursi, and how many times that letter comes. I'm not against all of that. I'm not saying this haram. But I'm saying that is not the essence, and that is not the reason for the nuzul of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't sell this kalam for us to do an analysis of the words. By all means do that, but then go the next step, which is to say what is happening inside. This ayat of Suratul Anfal, which I recited for you, part of the ayat. How many times do we, when we are reading Allah's kalam, or if you are teaching somebody, you know, your child is reading to you or student is reading to you, how many times do you stop the student and say, now you read this, what happened to you? For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. Alhamdulillah, we read this tajweed, correct, some tartil, tune, nice. What happened to you inside? هو الله. ما هو؟ الذي يعلم الغيب والشهادة. What does it mean? عالم الغيب والشهادة means what? Which means, real time, He is seeing me. Which means, real time, He knows what I am saying. He knows what I am thinking. He knows what's in my heart. He knows what my problems are. What is the meaning of Alamul Ghaib wa Shahada? We are satisfied with the words. Allah knows this. Now, if I understand like this, then two benefits. One, how can I commit a sin? How can I do anything which my Rabb does not like when I know? Not I believe, I know that He is watching, He is listening. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. How can I commit a sin? Secondly, how can I fear anything? Me? Fear? My Rabb is with me. He said, I didn't say it. He said it. Huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. We read the ayat. Alhamdulillah. We understand the meaning of the ayat. The translation we understand. What does it do inside? What does it do inside? Does it do anything? What is the meaning of Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard? You know, when he hit me, I must have read this ayat, I don't know how many times. I recite this regularly. One day it hit me. It hit me that I am in this samawat on earth, which belongs to Allah. And lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Who said it? Did I say it? Allah said it. So what is it? What does it mean? It means Allah is telling me, you are mine. I didn't say it. My Rabb is saying, you are mine. You belong to me. Huh? There is a difference. I can claim. Huh? I can claim, Allah is my Rabb. And I can just claim so many things. But for my Rabb to say, you are mine. Huh? That is what I mean. The reason I am saying this is, my brothers, is because somewhere in the whole game, we seem to have lost the plot. And the plot is that Islam is the meaning of a relationship. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah is a statement of relationship. It's not a statement of information. Right? It's not a statement, it's not information. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. So what should I do? Okay. And then the adhan comes, Allahu Akbar. Then what do I do? Do I pray or don't pray? And that's the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the salah. He said that this is the qualifier, this is the boundary. الْأَحَدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ الصَّلَةِ فَمَنْ أَرَضَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. The one who left it has committed kufr, has denied the action, the relationship. So, La ilaha illallah is my relationship with Allah. That's the reason why the first question in the grave, what is it? مَنْ رَبُّكَ. The first question is not Ma Rabbul Alameen. No. The Malaika know who Allah is. They're not asking for information. Please tell me who is your Rabb? Who is your Rabb? What is your relationship with your Rabb? To understand this, one of the most beautiful places in the Quran is the conversation. That's why I say to connect with Allah means to talk to Allah. That's also our understanding of the word connect. If I say, am I connected to you, means what? Am I talking to you? If I call you and I say, did I get connected? Means what? Talking to you. So to connect to Allah means to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the most beautiful examples is the conversation between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. Well, Ibrahim alayhi salam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this question. He's saying, oh Allah, how do you show me, how do you give life after death? وقال إبراهيم ربي أرني كيف تحيي الموتى. What is the reply? See the beauty of this thing. Literally, that's why I'm saying the meaning of meaning. What does that ayah mean to you? Not the translation. What is the meaning of that? Rabbi arini kaifa tuhil maut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have done it. He could have shown him. I do it like this. No. Avalam tuhil? You don't believe? Hello, bala? Well, no, I believe. But just to, for the comfort of my heart. See the closeness. This is the, I'm speaking to the Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reaction also. You asking me? Why are you asking me? You don't believe? Allah Kareem. Khalilullah. That's what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if Ibrahim had the right to ask this question, we have a bigger right. The love of this, of the Abd and the Rabb. And of course, we know the whole story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him a lot of work. Go catch the birds, train them, this, that. You know, I mean, I wildlife is my thing, so I go off into the real reality of this. Adult birds can't be caught and they cannot be trained. Right? So it means what? He must go find nests and he must get the chicks. Then he has to hand feed them and tame them. So we're talking about a whole few months project. It's not it didn't happen overnight. And after they're tamed and so on, you train them to come. They're coming to you. Now every time you call them, they're coming to you. They got them trained. Now take them. Kill them, chop them up, make into a khima, then separate into four parts. This one's head, that one's legs, everything together. Now go start climbing mountains. There's one hill there, go climb that mountain. Now the other one is on the other side. Go climb that one. Then climb a fourth one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whole project. Not so easy, yeah? And if you see the positioning of these ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, the first set of ayat are related to Ibrahim, the conversation between Ibrahim a.s. and Namrud. Where he said, I also can give life and death. And you got to, then Ibrahim alayhi salam says, you know, Allah makes the sun rise from the east, you make it rise from the west. Then comes the story of the man who came to the Qariya, which was destroyed. And he said, how does Allah give life after death? And that man, now that is a question. That's a standard, it's not a Khalil question, communication question. He asked a question, see the answer he got. He died. Yet he got the answer. But what was the answer? He died. His donkey died. Then 100 years later, he was resurrected. Then he was asked, how long did you stay? Yawman abada yawm. Now imagine, I'm thinking, that man now, 100 years later, when he is alive, now he's back alive, he got answered his question. Now, who does he find now? Obviously, 100 years later, his whole family is gone. Who will be there? I mean, 100 years later, this group, not one single one, maybe him. If Allah gives him a long life. Otherwise, none of us is going to be 100 years from today. So, if I now get resurrected 100 years later, I've lost all my friends, all my family. So, you wanted an answer, you got an answer. But then Ibrahim alayhi salam is asking the same question. Same question. Rabbi karini kaifa tuhil mauta. Same question. But he gets a different answer. Why? Because of the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is having fun at his expense. You don't believe? No, yeah, Allah, I believe. Please show me. Show me, no? Then Allah gives you all the product. So my question, my brothers and sisters, to you and myself is, what is our ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this month comes for us to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, look at the meaning of the meaning. And say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself, the meaning is the meaning of the word. The meaning of the meaning is, what does it do to me? What does it do to me? That is the meaning of the meaning. And that is the reason why the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sent. It was not sent for us to do a linguistic analysis of it. It was sent for us to change ourselves, to change our lives. And when we do that kind of understanding, if we understand the kalam like this and we do that, then inshallah we are reaching the haqq of the Quran. I want to close with a beautiful story of Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullah alayh. Imam Al-Awza'i was going in a khafila for Umrah, and they got waylaid by highway robbers. So it was all up and down and people being looted. And after, while this was happening, the head of the robbers came and stood in front of Imam Al-Awza'i with a naked sword. And he said, "Who are you?" Now, you know, Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullah alayh, great Imam, faqih, one of the greatest ulama of this ummah. He had his own mazhab, the Zahiri mazhab. So the robber is asking him, "Who are you?" What does he say? He said, "I teach children Quran." He does not say, "I am so and so, and you know, I'm a faqih and I'm a mufti." You know. He said, "I teach children Quran." So this robber says, "Okay, you teach children Quran?" He said, "Yes." So he says, "Recite some Quran for me." So Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullah alayhi recites one single small ayat of Surah Az-Zariyat. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. That's it. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. Imam Al-Awza'i says this man started shivering. The sword dropped from his hand. He said, "This is the Quran?" Al-Awza'i said, "Yes." وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. He said, "My risk is in the heavens and whatever I want." He said, "Yes." He said, "Allah said this?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Then why am I doing this? Why am I engaged in robbing?" Al-Awza'i says, he called his people. He said, "We make tawbah. This job is over. Our risk is with Allah. Khalas. Give back everything to them. Go." Okay. Al-Awza'i said, "Alhamdulillah, we thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala," and so on and so on. We went to Makkah. He said, "We finished Umrah." And next day, he said, "I was making tawaf of the Kaaba in the morning and I heard somebody weeping." And he says, the weeping was so intense. He said, it was like a woman would weep if her small child was taken from her arms and the throat was cut and given back to the woman. And this is the description of Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullah. He said, "Now imagine that woman, if you know, this kind of thing happens, how that she would be completely destroyed, heartbroken. She would weep." He said, "This, I hear this person weeping like this." So he said, "I said, who is this person? What is this problem? Why is he weeping like this?" He said, "I went looking, I found this man." Who? The same head of the robbers. He said, "He is sitting there in front of the Kaaba and he's weeping." So Imam Al-Awza'i said, "I recited for him the next ayat." Now what is the next ayat? وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَتُوَدُونَ فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ أَنَّكُمْ مَا تَنْطِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "By the Rabb of the heavens and the earth, this is true." What is true? The previous ayat, which is وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ مَا تُوَدُونَ. So this is true. And Allah gives an example and He said, "This is as true and you should believe it, because this is like you and me talking. Like there's nothing, I'm talking to you, you have no difficulty believing that I'm talking." So Allah says this. Imam Al-Awza'i says writes a very beautiful thing. He says, that man, he stopped crying. He said, he looked at me and he said, "Why does Allah have to take an oath by Himself to convince somebody like me?" He said, "Why does Allah have to take an oath by Himself for me? Allah has to take an oath for me." Al-Awza'i says, the man was not an alim. He was a jahil. He said, the kalam of Allah hit him straight in the heart. There were no curtains of knowledge to deflect the power of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our so-called knowledge.
He said, my Rabb is talking to me. He takes an oath. Why must my Rabb take an oath? It's enough, I believe you. This is the meaning of meaning. This is the meaning of meaning.
So I remind myself anyway, I want to close with that, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us this month in order to develop taqwa, in order to clean our hearts, in order to make these hearts instruments of receiving the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making these hearts as receivers to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and to bring about the change in our lives. Any knowledge we get must be tested against that. What change is it bringing in me? If it is not bringing change, then it's not knowledge. It may be one step to that. I'm not saying it is haram or something. No, it may be one step to that. But we have not reached the purpose of the nuzul of this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His kalam, to fill our hearts with nur and barakah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Wallah alam, maybe tonight is one of the nights, it's one of the odd nights, maybe Allah alam, it's Laylatul Qadr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Laylatul Qadr. Biliman wa ihtisab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all our du'as and to receive us in a state when He is pleased with us, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.